You're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. You're with Scotty. The official international programs. Okay, let's start that one all over again. I have a very large stack of PSAs I was going to read today. I was going to see if I can't get through each and every single one of them, all error-free. We'll see what happens there. I haven't been really... Actually, today's not a very good day for me today. I've been feeling pretty under the weather. Anyway, yeah, just stay out of the office today. That's what I'm getting at. The Office of International Programs is accepting applications now until March 30th for International Peer Mentoring Program. Gain experience working with diverse groups, develop leadership skills, and earn course credit by helping new international students at WSU. Pick up your application in Bryan Hall, room 108, or Smith Gym, room 214. For questions, email Levi McNeil at intnl.pgm.pm.grad@wsu.edu. If you would like that email address, you can call me in the studio, 335-2207, and I will read that off to you. There's a lot of things to remember there. Speaking Japanese, if you please. Learn Japanese for free. Everyone is welcome to join in on the good times at Neil Public Library every Tuesday. Beginners can learn about Japanese culture and basic speaking and writing skills from 4 to 5 p.m. International students will focus on grammar and vocabulary from 5 to 5:45. And the advanced classes with one-on-one teaching meets at 5:45 to 6 p.m. Contact Kimi Hirose at 509-432-3903 or the Neil Public Library at 509-334-3595 for more information. Is your mom the next mom of the year? Nominate your mom today. Nomination forms are available at the Women's Resource Center, Wilson Hall, Room 8. Or download the form at www.events.wsu.edu/moms-weekend. Submissions are due March 9th, 2007 in Wilson Hall, Room number 8. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to contact KZUU at 335-2208 or email gm@kzuu.org. Had a bad weekend? Need legal counseling? Student Legal Services at WSU is happy to help. Student Legal Services is a student-run organization that provides free legal advice to students. So if you are in need of help, stop by their office in Ad Annex Room 305. They're open Monday through Thursday from 9 to 5 and Friday from 9 to 1. The high school equivalency program at WSU welcomes volunteers to participate as tutors for adult GED students. Fluent Spanish speakers are especially needed. This is a wonderful opportunity to acquire teaching skills. Contact Priscilla Haste at 335-5652 or go to Cleveland Hall's room 21 through 23 for more information. The Avery Micro Computer Lab in Avery Hall shows free movies every Friday at 5 p.m. Movies include Outfox, Talladega Nights, Brother, The Goonies, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Children of Men, and more. For a full listing or for more information, visit the AML website at www.aml.wsu.edu. Believe it or not, I am not done yet. This is like one of those previews in the movie that just keeps going and going and going. Attention, makers of music. The WSU SEB Battle of the Bands is now accepting press kits. This year's Battle of the Bands will be held in Beasley Coliseum on April 1st and will feature 10 chosen semifinalists. For details regarding the requirements for the press kit, visit www.myspace.com/WSU SEB or contact Mark or Christian for more information, 335-3503. Submission deadline is March 9th. Volunteers wanted. The Women's Transit is looking for drivers and dispatch volunteers. All volunteers will receive hands-on training. Cars, gas, and insurance are provided. Receive academic credit while giving back to the community. To sign up, come by Women's Resource Center in Wilson Hall, room 8, or 335-6849. Dear KZUU listeners and political enthusiasts, the ASWSU presidential candidate will have a question and answer session on KZUU this coming Monday, March 5th. That's today. Each group will get 20 to 30 minutes to give the lowdown on their goals and views. This special broadcast begins at 4 p.m., hosted by yours truly, the PES. KZUU DJs, Republic Service announcements like what you just heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office in Smith Gym, room 126B, or fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office, 335-2208. We on the PES have been harping for years on the concept of personal liberties, personal freedoms, the government always trying to catalog and hold more information about us than is truly necessary. There's an article, this is happening actually over in England, which England has long ago given up pretty much all of their basic rights of privacy. But we will see more and more things like this trying to be pushed over here, because just as our Supreme Court seems to think it could look abroad to compare our laws with other laws in order to decide a case, I can see our people looking abroad and saying, hey, they're doing it over there, and we're just like England, so let's go ahead and start doing it ourselves. This is probably the whole tin hat thing that I have going on all the time. But I believe that this will be happening in America, and it's not going to be very long off, and it's going to start with the kids. Unfortunately, I don't know what kind of things we can do to stop this, because we just have this overwhelming – we're on this roll. We have all these securities and liberties that we're giving up. Actually, we have all these liberties and freedoms that we're giving up on the guise that we're going to get more security. But we're not getting more security. All we are is getting more cataloged. We're getting more of our information into databases that gives us less anonymity. You hear people argue, well, I don't have nothing to hide, so why should I care? Well, you should care. And we can go into that in a little bit. And I'll also go into specifically what is England going to be doing to all the kids that will really cause people a lot of concern. But in the meantime, we're going to have, not necessarily the favorite of the PES, but a special song that I like to listen to. And because I'm feeling so ill today, I figured I'd use this and hopefully cheer me up a little bit before we get going on with the rest of the show. Stand by.
Okay, kids, gather around. It's story time. Once upon a time, there was a rat and a turtle.
Set in the caves are flat in anticipation.
abandon the stock issues and do the tricycle now. They leave from the river in one bound, screaming. The market's downtown. Will do for crispy crust filled with fresh hot sweet apple juice.
For the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat.
Excited.
fear a government which fears your enmity. The inverse of liberty and freedom is slavery and control. Don't be fooled into debating the issue of privacy. Protecting privacy is not the issue. Blackmail artists will protect your privacy as long as you comply with their demands. The government is no different. The focus of the debate must be on liberty and freedom. The question must be, does the government have any right whatsoever to maintain a database of information of free citizens? The answer is simply no, not in a free society. It was written by Scott McDonald, and Uncle Sam has your numbers on page one. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a situation where the UK would like to have all children ages 11 through 16 to have their fingerprints taken and stored in a secret database. Well, probably not going to be much of a secret database anymore now that some of these documents have been revealed. But think about that. Every single kid from 11 to 16 would have their fingerprints in the system. Of course, the fingerprints are something that won't change throughout your lifetime, meaning every single person in a free society would have their fingerprints on file after having done nothing wrong at all or anything to warrant their fingerprints being taken. Think about that kind of an invasion of privacy. They form part of a program for the introduction of new biometric passports and ID cards. Oh, great. It gets even deeper. Under the new passport and ID scheme, everyone over 16 who applies for a passport will have their details, including fingerprints, eye, and facial scans, added to a national ID registry from next year. The Prime Minister has hailed the ID card scheme as a centerpiece of efforts to combat terrorism and illegal immigration. Oh, geez. What does that sound like? Sounds like something that would be perfect over here, as well as the identity theft and benefit fraud. But opponents dismiss this as Big Brother scheme that is all too expensive, poorly planned, and unlikely to function efficiently. So once again, think about this. Don't be fooled into debating the issue of privacy. Protecting privacy is not the issue. Blackmail artists will protect your privacy as long as you comply with their demands. The government is no different. The focus of the debate must be on liberty and freedom. The question must be, does the government have any right whatsoever to maintain a database of information about free citizens? The answer is simply no, not in a free society. So we have this situation where we want to fingerprint and catalog all these kids. Not only that, anybody over 16 that gets a passport get their facial scans and ID and retina IDs. Why? Why do they need that information? What are they going to do with that information? And the answer is going to be, oh, well, we're not going to do anything with it. Well, then why do you need it? Or, well, we're going to use it to make sure you are who you say you are. Why do you need to know that? What have I done to make you need to know that information? And don't tell me it's for my own good, for my own security from terrorists and outside people. Because if that's your answer, I'm going to tell you you're taking away my personal liberties of the right of anonymity in order to give me this illusion of security. I could be sitting on a plane next to bin Laden. It doesn't make me one bit safer if I know it's bin Laden. That's not about safety. It's not about knowing who the person is. That's not going to make me safer. So don't sit here and try to tell me that, oh, by knowing who you are, everybody's going to be safer. And think about these databases and this idea of keeping all this information and all the information that is kept about people currently. We have all these databases out there right now. And the only thing that keeps our life from being totally spelled out is the fact that all these databases aren't connected together. You give somebody one piece of data that could connect everything together, all of a sudden our lives are no longer at all private. Think about when you go to Safeway, what do you use? You probably use their club card. It's a nice way of not having to clip coupons and save coupons. Well, sure, it's a convenience, but at what risk to your privacy? When you get your receipt, you'll notice that your name is printed out there, the one that you have on your club card, as well as your phone number. You'll also notice that they keep track of how many sandwiches you've gotten, when your next 10-cent gas discount is and everything. So obviously, they're keeping a database with information on it about you and your spending and your buying purchases. So now we have all this what doesn't seem to be very bad data about you. It's just things that you bought. Well, what if you're buying certain products? What if these products point at certain things? Like, let's say you bought some beer. Okay, well, let's say you bought two cases of beer, or you're throwing a party, so you buy a whole bunch of beer, but, you know, you don't know why the person bought a lot of beer, you just know they bought a lot of beer. And then you start looking at some other things. Oh, he bought a thing of cookies, you know, and he bought maybe some tobacco or whatever else. So at what point will health... will your health insurance companies be able to get a hold of your purchasing records at Safeway and other stores that keep track of this stuff and use that against you on your health benefits? I don't think it's far off. As a matter of fact, I really wish I had this one pizza commercial. It was a spoof commercial, more or less, along the same lines of that, where this person went to order a pizza, and as the order progressed, you were learning all these fees were getting added onto the pizza because, well, the person had had a heart attack in the past, so therefore, and what they were ordering on their pizza, they had this health premium fee. The house that they lived in, the person who was delivering was going to have to go through a danger zone, therefore there was another additional fee there, and it was just on and on and on and on and on with all these fees and getting a hold of library records, and oh, I see you got these books for this vacation that you're planning, and it was just, you know, the idea of the Big Brother arguments were just, it was really well spelled out there. And, you know, it seemed really absurd, but what makes you think we're not going down that path? We have all these databases out there with all that information. It's not far-fetched. That information about you is out there. The question is, who has access to that data? Do you know what the government does with your driver's license information that you've already voluntarily given out to them? What do they do with it? Where does it go? Who protects it? What's going to stop somebody from getting it? What's going to how are you being protected? Do you have any ability to audit the protection that they have going on, or do you have to trust that the government is doing everything they're supposed to do? Do you trust the government that much with that kind of information about you? Seems like everybody complains about the government and how inept they are and everything else. Why are they all of a sudden perfect when it comes to protecting our data, our information? Well, I don't believe that they are. I don't believe they're one bit perfect. As a matter of fact, I don't even think we're perfect in protecting our own data because we voluntarily go out there and give all this data away. We get the Safeway Club card and choose to use a club card. I think a wise thing, and I believe some groups of people have actually done this, they've just gotten this fake data and they've used it as a club card, and they can use the club card to get their discounts that they want, but they're not going to be stuck with this actual data representing them. What about walking around WSU's campus with all these card swipers everywhere? You use your WSUD ID card, swipe it, and you get into a building. Well, where does that information go? How does that card swiper item know that you can get in or you can't get in, or what hours you're allowed in? Well, obviously, that information has to go back to some sort of system that says, hey, this person is or is not allowed. Well, is that data stored? Is that saved for any kind of log that logs whether you swiped a card and didn't get in or did get in? So do you have these logs of when you're coming and going from buildings, when you're going from door to door, and somebody could theoretically put together more or less a very good idea of what you do during a day? You wake up in the morning, you head out, take your shower. When you get back to or you go out to the main lobby of the building, you go outside to go to the dining center, you come back, boom, you swipe your card. Now we know you're at least up at this hour in this building at this location. You go to Safeway, buy yourself some lunch, get some gas. Well, boom, there we've seen how many gallons of gas you've used. We know what kind of things you just purchased because you put it all on your Safeway card, plus you used your debit card. So we have a record, a cross-reference of that value of that transmission, of that transaction. And then you go on and you drive through some places like, say, downtown Pullman, where there's actually a webcam out there that could theoretically record your car as you drive by. And who knows how many other businesses have cameras that are set up. Some of them are very obviously set up. Some of them aren't. But let's say you went to you bought your food at Safeway, but you decided to go down the street to one of the gas stations that has the video surveillance to get some gas. So now we have another record of that, you going from Safeway to here. I mean, we could start working together and actually putting together a play-by-play action of your life. Do you really want that kind of information out there? Do you really want that final piece of data that's going to link all that stuff together? Once again, it seems far-fetched right now because you can't really see it happening, but look what they're wanting to do now in England. They want to get the fingerprints, facial scans, and retina scans of millions of people that are 16 and over, and they want to get the fingerprints of everybody from 11 to 16, what use are they going to have with that data? Unless all they want to use it for is to keep tabs on their citizens. And do you really want your government, the government that you, as a United States citizen, says is allowed to be there? I mean, we're the ones who give the power to the government, not the other way around. However, we have gone away from that thought process. We don't realize that we're the ones with the power, not the government. And if you were to try to go to the government now and say, hey, you know what, I think you're overstepping your bounds. I think you're doing way too much as a government. You have no business taking this information about me as a free citizen. The government's going to go tell you to stuff it, go pound sand. And if you say, well, I'm going to do something about it, then you, oh, maybe they'll take you down for treason, for trying to overthrow the United States government. Well, that's not what we're advocating. We like the government. We like the fact that we're the United States, but we just think that they're overstepping their bounds and they need to be put in check. The situation of keeping these kinds of records and data about people is not right, and it's going to only get worse. There's the idea of the Real ID Act in America. And the idea there is that it would have certain pieces of data about you that would more or less allow the ID card to be considered a valid ID card. Because some places don't do really any checks on you at all. They just sort of issue ID almost on your honor. You show maybe some documents, but there's not a lot to it. Some states now require that you give fingerprints or at least a thumbprint when you get your driver's license. Colorado is one of them. You actually have to put down your thumbprint to get a driver's license. And this is that thing. What we talked about a little while ago with the idea that the government, just like a blackmail artist, will protect your privacy as long as you do what it says. And the government will allow you to drive a car as long as you do what it says. And in this case, the government wants you to give a fingerprint. You choose not to give a fingerprint, that's fine. At this point in time, that is your right. You don't have to give the state of Colorado, for instance, your fingerprint. Well, guess what? You're not going to get a driver's license either. Well, that sort of sucks because driving's a privilege, not a right. And they can withhold all sorts of stuff from you in order to coerce you into giving freely this stuff. And I don't believe it's freely given. In our society, having a driver's license, especially when you live out west of the Mississippi or even west of the East Coast, is a pretty important thing to get from point A to point B with things so far apart. Now, you could also say, well, geez, if we got rid of Sprawl and Sprawl Mart and all these other places and built huge high-rises, we'd never need cars because we could walk from place to place. Well, guess what? That's not the case. That's not the world we live in. That's not the way it is out here in the West. You can say that and wish that and dismiss the fact that the government's taking our ID and our fingerprints and our retinal scans and ignore that fact. And that's the whole point here. It's not about the way we're doing society. The fact is the government is trying to get more and more information about us stored in databases. And they're trying to get to that final point of having the ultimate national ID card. Fortunately, there's been enough people that are like, okay, that's going too far, that we're going to fight it. However, it's just the little itty-bitty baby steps that nobody's fighting along the way. And each and every single little itty-bitty baby step is getting us that much closer. You can try to argue I'm going down a slippery slope, though a step in one direction it will necessarily mean we're going to lead to that direction. But I believe that the government realizes, just as anybody realizes, you go in little steps that people are willing to take. And you go in another step that somebody is willing to take. And you go in another step that somebody is willing to take. And pretty soon you get to a situation where it's not that far off to get to a national ID card. And by that time, people through the generations are so used to the kind of restrictions or the kind of data that's already being collected about them that they don't feel that as a risk. Whereas if it's one large step, people look at it and say, wow, that's a big step there, guys. We don't want to go that far. But we go little itty-bitty-baby steps, and everybody's okay with it. Before, you didn't have to worry about your thumbprint on a driver's license. Now you do. What's going to be next? What kind of things are we going to have to worry about next? Maybe in the future we'll have to worry about retinal scans for to get a driver's license. And then what are they going to do with that information on the retinal scans? If you think about your DNA samples and your fingerprints, with a fingerprint, they can compare that with all sorts of item or all sorts of forensics that they find on scenes of crimes or whatever. But what are they going to do with the retinal scan? the only way that they're going to be able to use a retinal scan is if you are actually there in person, which means what? Are they going to have it in all government buildings that when you walk in, the retinal scans will be going off and they'll be checking about all your information and all your history and pulling up these databases, and whatever security officers working wherever they're working will get this information about you as you go walking in the building? I mean, is that really living in a free society? I don't think so. And that's the kind of thing that we need to worry about. When you see a country that's willing to photograph or to willing to fingerprint each and every one of its citizens, have we gone too far? Look at the use of video cameras in law enforcement. Are you against that? I believe you should be. I don't believe that video cameras should be used specifically in law enforcement. And when I'm saying that, I'm talking about photo enforcement. You shouldn't be having speeding tickets sent to you in the mail if you were speeding down a certain stretch of road. I don't believe that you should get a ticket if you run a red light. Yeah, you should get one if you get caught, but the idea of using the photo enforcement, I'm not for that. I'm not for photographic justice where all it is a inanimate object that's enforcing rules of law. It has no ability to reason. And it almost goes with the zero tolerance to zero common sense, because those kinds of things have no common sense. It's either a yes or a no. There's no common sense. There's no ability to reason and understand what's going on and understand the situation. It's either a yes or a no. And going beyond the whole idea of full enforcement, it's not far off to use GPS enforcement. Many cell phones have GPS-enabled items already. What about when cars are going to be required to have GPS? Will the government then be able to do the exact same thing they do with photo enforcement? Because there would be no difference. What they're doing right now is they're using a photograph to prove you were speeding. Well, now they got a GPS that's unique to your car. You're speeding down I-90 on your way home from school to go home for Thanksgiving break. Well, guess what happens? You were doing 80 miles an hour, and as soon as you hit more than 5 miles an hour over, no matter what you're doing, boom, a ticket is being made and sent to you in the mail. Well, now you're going down Vantage Hill, and you're not paying attention. You're getting ready to pass a car. Boom, here goes another ticket. Or you are in the middle of passing a car. Boom, there's a ticket. You were speeding. Do you think it's really that far compared that to photo radar? I don't think it's that far off. I think we're going that direction. We need to stand up now and say, no, we don't use photo radar. We don't use photos for stoplight violations. We're not going to go that direction. We got to stay away from that kind of stuff. It's the whole idea that we could use video and photography to more or less clamp down your whole entire anonymity and freedom throughout life. You know, as I sit here and talk about this, every single time I think about the movie Minority Report, where they have that idea of pre-crime, where they're able to see into the future and they see a crime about to occur and they go arrest the person before the crime occurs and charge that person under the pre-crimes. And that seems really far-fetched, because obviously you would have to have these sentinels that were able to see into the future, and you'd have to have the guy that can read what they're seeing and put it together and figure out the crime. Yeah, that's a little far-fetched, but what about some of the other things they had going on? Where, you know, that Tom Cruise would walk into a store and the retinal scan would hit and the ads would be focused on Tom Cruise. Well, how are these ads going to know what Tom Cruise likes? Well, they know he's a male, they know his shopping habits, so boom, they're going to show him all these shopping things. Is that far off? I don't believe it is. At what point is the government going to use that same kind of stuff against us? At what point is our anonymity going to be so gone, our freedoms are going to be so far gone, that we're going to be, quote-unquote, secure, but we're not going to be able to do anything? We've just got to keep cognizant of this kind of stuff, keep on top of it, let our senators and congressmen know we are not for these kind of intrusions into personal liberty. Because do you feel honestly any safer on an airplane today than you did September 10th, 2001? Do you feel one bit safer on an airplane now than you did then? Do you feel there's still a chance that terrorists are still going to get you? Do you still feel there's a chance that there could be something on board? I don't know. I'm asking you rhetorically. Think about that. Now, here's the question. Remember when there was the shoe bomber? Oh, he brought a bomb aboard the plane on a shoe. And then all of a sudden, oh gosh, everybody has to take their shoes off because there could be a bomb in somebody's shoe. Well, that's silly. That is really silly. Now we are reacting to things versus being proactive about things. So every time they find a little possible leak of information, of a breach of security, they all of a sudden put everybody through a dog and pony show. And here is why it is a dog and pony show. No matter how you think about it, quote unquote, airline security is a dog and pony show, period. You remember when a couple months ago, maybe more than that now, they realized that somebody could use a liquid as part of a bomb. So then all of a sudden there was no liquids allowed on any airplane. Well, guess what? They'd known about that technology for several years, but it was never a concern until it got leaked to the media and everybody started worrying about it. Oh, geez. So then all of a sudden the dog and pony show starts up. Oh, we've got to do something to show that we care about these liquid issues. So we're going to inconvenience everybody who wants to fly in order to make them feel secure. Are you really secure? I think not. When the whole shoe bomb thing happened, all of a sudden you had to take your shoes off. Well, are you any more secure today than you were the day before? Were you secure the day before? No, you weren't secure the day before. The only thing is you were ignorant to the fact of the dangers. But then all of a sudden when you're cognizant of the fact the government has to do something to make you feel safe, they do their little dog and pony show. They put you through all this rigmarole to make you feel safe. Oh, well, let's see here. If you get a one-way ticket somewhere, we're going to do extra security on you. Well, don't you think a terrorist would say, well, gee willikers, I know I would save money by doing a one-way ticket. However, I also know that they're going to do extra security on me. Therefore, if I buy a round-trip ticket, they're not going to give me extra scrutiny. Well, duh, do you think that the terrorists can't figure that out? Once again, dog and pony show, period. That's all this stuff is a dog and pony show. But at what point is this dog and pony show going to become more sinister? At what point is this dog and pony show going to all of a sudden cost you your securities any more than they already have? How much personal privacy do you have in an airport? Do you feel that you've been violated by the time you leave, taking off your shoes, pulling everything out of your pockets, having everything that you have looked at, scanned, searched by the TSA authorities? What about this idea of the full-body radar systems or full-body x-ray systems that will actually be able to see within your whole entire body and be able to see what kind of things you're carrying? Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think that's a little bit of an invasion of privacy? Why don't we just do strip searches and get it over with? It'd be a lot easier. We wouldn't have to worry about all these – well, they say the radar from those – or the – radiation exposure from those x-ray machines are going to be less than you get from flying in the airplane. But let's just get on with it. Let's just do a full out BCA. Let's do a full out strip search. No airline luggage allowed, and everybody will be safe, right? Come on, we're getting ridiculous. And that's the whole point, is I am getting a little ridiculous there. But the thing is that we need to be able to make sure that the government understands that we don't want to have this quote-unquote security if it means giving up our freedoms and liberties. And once again, people argue, do you have something to hide? And it is thought that if you have nothing to hide, then you should not mind a national ID card. You should not care if your movements are tracked. You should not mind video surveillance on the street corners like in England. However, the issue is not about hiding things. It is about personal liberties. It is about the freedom to go from point A to point B without other people tracking you along the way. I would ask somebody who wants my biometric information stored in a database, what are you planning on doing with that kind of information? And the answer is going to be nothing. Well, then why do you need it? Just be cognizant of this. Unfortunately, like I said, we live in a society that feels, oh, I have nothing to hide, therefore I don't care. We got an apathetic society. Look at our voting records. I don't care. I want to drive. I don't want to fight with this. And honestly, if the state of Washington passes a fingerprinting requirement to get a driver's license, are people going to honestly say, well, I'm not going to drive ever again because I don't want to give my license or give my fingerprint up? No, they're going to keep driving because it's a necessity. They're going to give up some of their personal liberties, some of their anonymity, in order to have the privilege of the driver's license. And the state will use that over our head. And what are they going to use that for next? Unfortunately, with our current state administration, I don't believe that personal securities and personal protections are very important. Look at private property rights. What kind of protections have they been fighting for since getting into power? You had that new case Kelo versus New Connecticut. Was that right? New Connecticut. Anyway, where the city took back property that belonged to people in order to give it to developers to redevelop. And they used eminent domain, saying that we are going to, using eminent domain would allow a government to use the ability to take away private property with just compensation in order to use it for government needs. They use it for building roads quite often and whatnot. That's typically when you commonly hear about the eminent domain going in. But the city went above and beyond and said, well, if we take this and redevelop it, the city will get more taxes. Therefore, that's how the city, the government, is using it. And we'll justify it by saying we are going to get more tax money for the government. Therefore, it's for a government purpose. And we'll pay these people. But the question is, should eminent domain, was that the concept behind the eminent domain when it was put in? Do you think that the writers of the Constitution thought, well, geez, it would be a good idea if we could take away people's private property in order to get more tax money? I think not. I think they'd be rolling in their graves if they thought about the fact that that's what it was being used for today. In the state of Washington, we try to pass legislation about private property rights, but unfortunately, there was a lot of people in the state that felt that private property rights were not important. That if your property is zoned for a very specific use, that even though you want to use it within that zoning, that other people can say, no. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to use your property as it is zoned to be used because I don't like who you are. And I'm going to fight you in court, and I'm going to do everything I can to stop you from doing what you want with your property that you're lawfully able to do because I don't like you. And that's where we are today. I don't think that that's the idea of private property. I don't think that's the idea of zoning. Why zone something for something and then not allow people to use it as zoned? We have that situation going on right here in good old Pullman, Washington. We have property that is zoned for commercial use. A commercial entity wants to come in, owns the property, and wants to use it within the zoning. They're not even asking for a zoning change. But we have groups of people saying, no, you can't. Well, why not? Well, because we don't like you. And that's the bottom line. We don't like you. Therefore, we don't want you to use this property as it's meant for, even though you own it. And that goes to the whole idea. If somebody doesn't want a neighbor to use his property as it is properly zoned for, then maybe it should be owned by the person who doesn't want that property messed with. You hear this about the whole idea of the view. I don't want you to build on the hilltops, or I don't want you to build here, or I don't want you to build there because it will hurt my view. Well, if you were that concerned about the view and the property is for sale, buy it. Don't sit there and let somebody else buy it and then turn around and try to get them to stop their construction because it might harm your view. You want me to hold on to this property and pay taxes on it and not be able to use it because your view would get hurt? Well, then buy it yourself and hold on to it yourself and put out the money for yourself and pay the taxes for yourself, or shut up. It's my right as an American citizen to use my private property as I see fit, as long as it's within the zoning. Of course, I'm not going to be able to put a toxic waste dump in the middle of Pullman. It's not zoned for that. But if I want to put up a business and it's zoned for it, why are you stopping me? And why aren't people stepping in and saying, no, this is an issue of private property rights, not about who's putting it up there? If we really don't want certain businesses in Pullman, then we need to make laws that are going to stop those businesses, not trying to do it through zoning and that kind of stuff. Once again, you're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM. And this is the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. One of these days, driving down the freeway, all of a sudden that song's going to come on your radio for no reason. And what you're going to find out is, oh geez, you just got yourself a speeding ticket because they use GPS radar or GPS system, and they're sending you the ticket in the mail. Not only that, even let's say they don't use that specifically to ticket you. Let's say we are able to argue long enough that no, you can't use this information to give a ticket, but what about giving that information to insurance companies? What if this information? What if Safeway decides to all of a sudden decide to make a quick buck and say, "Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Insurance Companies, we are willing to sell you all this information on Joe Blow and what he's buying in our stores, you know, for who knows how much money." And at that point, the insurance company looks at the things you're buying and says, "Hey, we're gonna jack up your rates a little bit." I don't see that as being too far-fetched. I was actually just talking to a friend of mine on the phone. We were talking about that exact thing, and that's why I'm bringing it up right now again, is what kinds of things will these databases be used to pass on to insurance companies or other private entities? And speaking of insurance companies and health insurance, let me just say something. You've heard a lot of stuff recently in the news about the Walter Reed hospital and all the problems that they've been having there. Just think about this for a second. That's a government-run hospital. How many people are screaming for government-run healthcare? Well, there you go. You got government-run healthcare, and everybody's complaining about it. Lots and lots and lots of complaints. Do we really want government-run healthcare? No, we don't. And once again, don't call it free healthcare, because it's not free. There's nothing that's going to be free. You're going to pay. You're going to pay hardcore for it. How much money are you willing to pay to make sure everybody in the country is covered with healthcare? How much? How much of your salary do you want taken out every single month to make sure that everybody in the country has healthcare? Notice I didn't say has free healthcare, because there's no such thing as free healthcare. Somebody is paying for it. It's just a matter of who. Well, if we're going to do a nationwide healthcare, first off, we've already seen how government healthcare works. Just read about the Walter Reed Hospital. We're hearing about it in the news day in and day out right now. Okay, so let's go beyond there. Who's going to pay for this? Who's going to be in charge of, who's going to be willing to step forward and have this pay for? Or is this going to be yet another tax put on everybody who makes money? How big is this tax going to be? How much money are we going to have taken out of our paycheck each and every year in order to pay for this national health care coverage? At what point will this national health care coverage go up in price? Will we have any say in how much more money gets taken out of our paycheck? I think not. There's a lot of arguments for and against the idea of a national health care system. There's a lot of arguments that says our healthcare system is in shambles and needs some updating. There's a lot of people who don't like insurance companies in general. The insurance companies are there to make money, of course. And because they're there to make money, they don't like taking a lot of risk. Therefore, the bigger the risk, the more money it's going to cost you. The more money it costs you, the more of a hardship it is on people, the less likely they are to be able to afford it. So we have issues that need to be cleaned up. But is the solution more government interference? Is the solution to our problem more government programs, more taxes? Is that honestly the best solution we can come up with? Some of the smartest people in the world live here in America, and the best we could do is say, tax people more and make the government do it. I don't think that's a very good solution. There's a lot of options that could be done out there, but there's a lot of very powerful lobbyists as well. Unfortunately, lobbyists seem to have a lot of control over what we do and don't do in America. What needs to happen is the brightest that we have need to come together and say, hey, here's how we can fix these problems without resorting to more government control, more taxes. If you don't want Walter Reed to be every hospital in America, maybe that's the step we need to take next. That's just a thought. You're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM. Once again, the favorite of the PES, the Reverend. Reverend Ports and Heat. Listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. Reach us on the web at www.kzuu.org and on the telephone at 335-2207. Speak Japanese if you please. Learn Japanese for free. Everyone is welcome to join on the Good Times at Neil Public Library every Tuesday. Beginners can learn Japanese culture and basic writing and reading skills from 4 to 5 p.m. Intermediate students will focus on grammar and vocabulary from 5 to 5:45. And advanced class with one-on-one teaching meets at 5:45 to 6:30 p.m. Contact Kimi Hirose at 509-432-3903 or the Neil Public Library at 334-3595 for more information. The Avery Microcomputer Lab in Avery Hall shows free movies every Friday at 5 p.m. Movies include Outfoxed, Talladega Nights, Brother, The Goonies, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Children of Men, and more. For a full listing or more information, visit the AML website at www.aml.wsu.edu. Dear KZUU listeners and political enthusiasts, the ASWSU presidential elections will have a question and answer session on KZUU this Monday, March 5th. That's today. Each group will get 20 to 30 minutes to give you the lowdown on their goals and views. The special broadcast is hosted by me. Special edition of the PES starting at 4 p.m. today. Be sure to tune in. KZUU DJs, Republic Service announcements like what you heard just every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office in Smith Gym, room 126B, or fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office, 335-2208. Last hour, we spent a little bit of time ranting about the national ID card system. Spent a little bit of time ranting about the insurance companies and how they can intermingle with the United States government in order to jack up our rates, in order to make us pay more money in order for their profits. And once again, it is a for-profit agency, and that's the way it works. That's why you do have the ability and the right to shop around for the cheapest rates. But you're only going to get so cheap because they do got to make money somehow, and they still have to pay off who they need to pay off. So at the next hour, we're going to we had that taser issue last week on the PES. We talked with Brandon Coe about use of tasers in policing, and more specifically, the use of tasers in a specific incident that took place up at Mike's Bar several weeks ago now. And what kind of events transpired around that event. Now, the more general question